Just when you thought it was safe to preach on Matthew's parables, we thought last week was tough. I'm not going to discuss the psychotic king in that parable until that's the end of this homily, okay? But what I'd like to do is give us a lens to help us approach this parable. And I'd like to use the lens of a sign that Pope Francis received probably about 6 or 7 weeks ago at one of those Wednesday audiences. An Italian psychotherapist was apparently there, and he came up to the Pope during the audience and gave him a little sign. And the photographers photographed it, and the Pope had a big smile on his face. And the sign in Italian said, "Vietato lamentarse." And it means, no complaining here. Pope Francis hung it on the door in Santa Marta, where he lives. And they say it's still there today. Now, I quote what's underneath that sign, no complaining. He says, offenders are subjected to a syndrome of victimization that lowers the mood and the ability to solve problems. And the sanction is doubled if the offense is committed in the presence of children. Finally, the sign concludes, to become the best of yourself, you must focus on your own potential and not on your own limits. So stop complaining and act to change your life for the better. We've all heard about the young man who wanted to be a Jesuit. So he goes off to the novitiate and he meets Father Novice Director. The Novice Director says, you are here on spiritual boot camp. There will be no talking. You can only say 3 words every 3 months. We're going to see how you do. So after the first 3 months, the young man comes. The Novice Director said, so what do you have to say? Young man says, food is bad. Another 3 months goes by, and then the Novice Director says to this man, what are your 3 words? Bed is hard. Another 3 months goes by, the Novice Director says, what do you have to say for yourself? I am leaving. And the Novice Director said, thank God you've done nothing but complain since you got here. I'm amazed you haven't heard that before. That's great. In Evangelii Gaudium, The Joy of the Gospel, Pope Francis urges Christians to abandon the attitude of constant complaining. He says this, sometimes there are melancholic Christians with faces like pickled peppers, such long faces, rather than being joyful for the beautiful life they have. I think this is a way for us to enter into these readings tonight. And I'd like one more word of introduction from my sponsor, St. Francis de Sales. In the Salesian tradition, there's something we call love your objections. Love your objections. It's another way of saying that everything belongs in our personality. The weeds and the wheat, the good and the bad. Certainly we don't welcome our sin or unhealthy behaviors, but we come face to face with our own faults and our flaws and our foibles so we can learn to love even the negatives as we turn it into the positive. For instance, in my community, one of my brothers in the morning makes a mess every morning at the coffee station. There's grounds and little puddles of coffee everywhere. It drives me crazy. I want to sometimes take his neck like this. Love the objection of coffee spills. Has anyone here ever been jealous or envious? Double, no, right? Love your objection. When we see in someone else what we desire for ourselves, maybe it's the Lord's way of saying, stop comparing. Because when we compare, we despair. Love that objection. We live in a world that is beleaguered by terrorism and violence. And rather than act out in the same kind, maybe we need to monitor and love our own reaction so that we can transform it rather than transmit the bitterness and the pain. So keeping this in mind about loving our objections and using this notion of the stop complaining, I'd like to offer us, in conclusion, 3 imperatives that emerge right from our readings to help us understand these scriptures. The first imperative comes right from the prophet Isaiah, and that is simply to see the big picture. Isn't it a beautiful text we have? The mountain of the Lord of hosts. There's going to be a lot of food and dancing and good wine. So if we want to know what it's like after death, think of a party, because we're going to be doing that in eternity. And think of good, deep, rich, full-bodied Cabernet Sauvignon, because there's going to be a lot of it in eternity on that mountain of the Lord. But all too often, we don't see the big picture, and we focus on the small and the petty. A couple years ago, Barbara Kingslover wrote a book entitled The Prodigal Summer. In that story, she tells of a young woman who got pregnant during the summer, within which everything seemed to her to be dangerously fertile. From the plants, to the insects, to the animals, to people, everything seemed to be teeming with fecundity, overactive, overabundant life. God, as we see both in nature and in Scripture, is just like that, overgenerous, overlavish, overextravagant, overprodigious, overrich, and overpatient. In nature, in Scripture, and experience, if they're to be believed, God is the absolute antithesis of everything that is stingy, miserly, frugal, narrowly calculating, or sparing in what it doles out. Do we see the big picture, or do we get miserly and too narrowly focused? The second imperative comes from Paul's letter to the Philippians. The imperative to really believe that God is part of every nanosecond of our existence. I quote Paul, "In every circumstance and in all things, I have learned the secret of being well-fed and of going hungry, of living in abundance and of being in need. I can do all things in him who strengthens me." So with the highs and the lows, the consolations and the desolations, the Lord is there every step of the way. I read from Ron Rollheiser a quote of Maya Angelou, and I quote Maya Angelou now. "When I was 6 years old, one summer day on the playground, a little boy called me a nigger. Fall came that year. Winter came that year. Spring came that year and brought with all kinds of flowers, and summer came in all its beauty. But in all that richness, the only thing I can remember from that whole year is being called a nigger." We easily forget the big things, don't we? Who won the Nobel Prize for Literature 2 years ago? Who won the Academy Awards? Who won the baseball game last night? But it's funny how quickly we tend to forget those big things. But it's curious that we don't forget those small things. We remember vividly, with all the healing and grace it brings, who was nice to us years ago and who called us stupid or fat or ugly or faggot or whatever it is that can really pierce right in. We remember the small stuff. And so with Paul, we need to go with the highs and the lows and constantly be reminded that the Lord indeed is with us. Third and the final imperative from Matthew. What is up with that baptismal garment? If we look back on our lives and are truly honest, we have to admit that of all the invitations that God has sent us, we've probably accepted and acted on only a fraction of them. There have been countless times we've turned away from invitations of the Lord. And for every invitation of maturity we've accepted, we've probably turned down a million, haven't we? Last weekend, I was invited to a wedding. I was presiding at a wedding, and the reception was at the Army-Navy Club downtown. Nice place. We get there, and one of my former students from GW was there, showed up without a tie for the rehearsal party. Well, in order to get in, you had to have one of those ugly ties they give you from the front desk to wear to get in it. And so, very, very, very unwilling, he put on the tie and went in and had a good time. I think that's what's happening in this parable. This man was there, and he refused to do the common courtesy of putting on the company coat to get into the party. And how often do you and I choose not to deport ourselves with the things we need to accept the ultimate gift of the kingdom of God, which is the gift of life forever? Are we clothing ourselves with the virtues of humility and simplicity and gentleness and kindness and forgiveness. This is the baptismal garment for all of us. Pope Francis reminds us, no complaining in life. God is lavish. Are we wearing the appropriate baptismal garments for our journey? Those three imperatives, to see the big picture from Isaiah, to recognize God with us side by side every step of the way, and to deport ourselves appropriately for the party of our lives. Because quite frankly, sisters and brothers, if we don't get used to the party here, it's going to seem really strange to us forever. May God be praised.